Thanks, guys. Let's pray before we read the word. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one who's here, and I just pray that you would help in the sharing of your word. We don't just need to hear the letters on the page, but we need your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to speak to us what is needed, what we need to each be hearing from you. And I pray that you would help with that today, Father. Your word would be living and active and speaking to us, Father. Amen. All right, so wanted to share on the theme of praise today, which can seem like maybe not a priority or something that can be a secondary, an outcome in our lives. Is praise an outcome? We praise because of what we're experiencing? Or is praise something that is owed to God, something that we owe to him, something that he deserves, irrespective of circumstances, irrespective of how we feel and how life is unfolding at any given moment? And it is a little bit of both. It is good to praise God because of his goodness towards us, and we're going to read scriptures about that. But as we read today, I think it's good to realize, and many know it, I think many would already have sort of said, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but maybe if the Holy Spirit can help us, he can speak to our hearts and help us to realize that it needs, does it have its rightful place in our life? Is our hearts and our minds one that are looking and meditating on reasons we have to praise God? Meditating on how good God is, meditating on how worthy he is of our praise each and every day. And are we fulfilling that? Is it happening? So let's turn to Psalm 63 to start. Actually, let me check that. Sorry, one sec. Yes, Psalm 63. Share something else with you before we're going to go to Psalm 63, but I just share a little personal testimony here, but hopefully it can be encouragement to all of us as we spend time in God's word. But this morning, as I was reading, I've been reading through the Psalms, and I was on Psalm 48 today, and the very first line of Psalm 48 verse 1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." And for myself, and I think I would be safe to say probably for many of us, you can just read that and almost just think like, yeah, that's Bible. Like, of course it says that. And it doesn't have to, you could just literally just read that and it would barely register in our minds, because it's throughout the scriptures, and it can feel so standard. Like, yeah, of course, God's greatly praised. Okay, moving on. What does this psalm have to say? And it was interesting, as I read it this morning, I was like, I wasn't looking for something to share. I was asking the Lord to speak to my heart, and if there's something to share, great. But as I read it and read the rest of the psalm and was looking at different things, I was like, Lord, I actually think that first line is what's on your heart. And for me, it was like I said, you could just look over that, but I encourage us, when we read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, and it can seem like it can seem almost trivial, like, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, but if we read it as like, no, this is God's word, and this might be what he's speaking to me. Every word of God has a purpose, and he wants to, the Holy Spirit can make every verse cover to cover in this book come alive to us and speak to us. And that's what we need. We don't need, it's good to know God's word. It's good to know the scriptures and to be studied in them. But that alone isn't enough. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to us and be speaking to our hearts from what we're reading, saying, Joel, this is what I need you to hear today. And I'll say this, when I read that and when it spoke to my heart this morning, it wasn't like, oh good, now I have something to share. I was looking back at my past few days going, you know what? I think there's something to this. I think there's something to this as I look over some of the little trials and difficulties that have come, different things that have been going on in my own heart. I was thinking, going, you know what? I think the Holy Spirit is actually speaking to me and talking to me and saying, Joel, I am greatly to be praised. And I am great. And you need to get a little more of that perspective in your life. You need to get your eyes up. You need to get your eyes up and see my greatness and see how greatly I am to be praised. And let your heart start to meditate on that and be quick to praise me. And we're going to read more scriptures about this, but take a lesson from it. Take a lesson from it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to me, Joel, saying, you serve a great God and he is worthy of your praise. And let's apply that. Let's obey that. Let's obey that. Let's obey the command that God is greatly to be praised. And let's practice it. So let's go back to Psalm 63. It says, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. So as I, you know now where I started my study, but this was one of the next passages I came to, and I was just sort of realizing and thinking like, yeah, maybe in the past days, maybe for others weeks, maybe for others longer, it can feel like we're in the midst of a dry and weary land where we're lacking water and we want God to maybe be encouraging us or helping us. I was praying for more grace in my life. I'm like, Lord, I just feel like the well is pretty dry right now. That's not God's fault. But that was a reality. It's like, man, Lord, I just feel like I'm lacking your grace for the situations, just the little things, right? Like, if we're honest with ourselves, right? Like, I was just looking back over my Saturday, and just different interactions with my kids and stuff. I'm going, man, there could have been more grace here. It would have been so much better to have a little drop of your grace in this situation, Lord, instead of my own sharp words and my own impatience or my own coming up short. So that's how I was thinking of it when I was thinking of this land where there is no water. I was feeling like, God, your grace is that water, and I'm feeling a bit dry, and he gives his grace abundantly. This is not a shortcoming of our Heavenly Father or the Holy Spirit if we're feeling that. But if we're in that place, I just looked at how the psalmist, how David responded when he was in this wilderness, this dry place. He was yearning for God, and then he pivots to how good God's love is to him. Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. And I like the verse 4. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. I'll bless you as long as I live. We're going to read it elsewhere, but when I read that, I was like, every day of my life, I want to be blessing God for his goodness, his love for me, praising him. I want to be lifting my hands in his name. And like, when I think of lifting my hands in his name, it can be a physical action. I do it. Some are less exuberant in their praise. But what I can tell you for sure, lifting our hands in his name is not just ritualistic, quoting mantras or trying to repeat some phrase, when I read lifting my hands in his name, it's like I'm praising you, God. I'm praising you with my heart. I'm praying to you. I'm looking to you. It's intentional. It's I don't want it to be a routine that I do this, but even, and just for context, right? Like it says in the New Testament that Paul encourages men everywhere to lift up hands praising to God. Praying to God. Lift up the hands in prayer, right? Like, not the main thrust here today, but meditate on that. Think about it. I was like, God, like, I do it Sundays, maybe Fridays a little bit, we're singing. But like, am I daily, like, lifting up my hands to you in praise and just coming to you as the great God who's greatly to be praised? Bringing my petitions, bringing my requests. I was challenged by that and kind of reflecting and looking at the last day and some of the things that were in my heart wishing I could have done differently and had more grace in. I was like, Lord, maybe you're speaking to me that this is a pathway to walking with you in ways that I haven't yet experienced as fully as you would desire for me. Maybe there's a truth here in how I'm to live and how I'm to think and how I'm to let my mind be renewed. Like, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I think everyone here knows that. And there's an element of that that is choosing to turn off certain channels, for a better lack of a better expression, but turn off certain things that come into our mind, like the devil's lies and just unbelief and all these things. But what are we going to turn on? What's the channel we want to turn on? And I think we would all say, yeah, I want to turn on the scripture or God's truth. But like, for myself, I think there could be a little more turning on the channel of praise, praising God. And with that, why? Why am I praising you? Why am I thinking of what is it? And it's just, to me, the two are very mingled together with thanksgiving. Like, giving thanks and praise kind of go hand in hand. But one of the differences, we can praise even without necessarily directly saying, I thank you for this or that, Lord. It's actually just, I praise you because you're worthy, because you are great, because you're the creator of heaven and earth, because all that we see and all that we know and all the powers of man and all that goes on around us is completely subject to you. It's like, it's just like dust in a scale compared to your greatness and your power. There's many, many reasons to praise God. And if we let our hearts meditate on them, he can speak them to us. Verse 6, it says, or verse 5, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Like, if we're in that place, if we're feeling God's goodness, let our response be that our mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Like, doesn't necessarily, we could just be satisfied and happy and just kind of keep it to ourselves and just kind of, wow, this is great. I'm having a great day. This is wonderful. And maybe we do see God's grace working. But our response in that time should be that I want to offer praises to the one who gives us that goodness, the one who satisfies us. As Jason was praying and had a burden, like, the one who satisfies, the one who we're seeking and wanting to give us that which truly satisfies. Well, what is our response to that? Our response to that should be mouths that are offering praises with joyful lips. Not just routine repetition, but lips that are joyful. And the Holy Spirit can do this. The fruit of the Spirit is, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. If we feel like we have zero, if we have a lack of joy, I don't have joy to praise you, God. Well, then ask for it. Ask for the Holy Spirit to bring it. But I would also say we might need to take some steps of faith too, intentionally, to say, Lord, I'm going to praise you even if my lips aren't joyful. I'm going to start there, but I'm going to ask your Holy Spirit to fill me with joy. Help me to see how good you are to me and all the reasons I have to give you thanks. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. The psalmist is meditating on his bed. David is meditating on his bed in the night. Others are sleeping. Others are sleeping, but David is not sleeping. David is meditating on how good God has been to him, how he's been his help, how he's protected him. David didn't even have the Holy Spirit. He was anointed. He had the Holy Spirit come upon him and help him, but he was in a different place than us. He was in a different place. We have been given something greater than what David has. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is actually, we have been given the opportunity of something deeper and richer than what David had. And yet David is on his bed meditating on how good God is to him in the middle of the night. Let that challenge you. It challenges me. Let that be a challenge to us. In the middle of the night, he's meditating on how good God is to him. And he's filled with joy. Is there any surprise there? This brother is filled with joy when he's living in this way. I think there's a strong correlation there. When he sees how God has protected him, how he's been hiding under the shadow of his wings. In times of difficulty, in times of persecution, in times of being chased by his enemies, he's seen that he has a place of refuge. He has a place of refuge to go to in God. That God is great and has delivered him over and over again. And in that, he sings for joy. His heart and his mouth praises God. Verse 8, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Then he goes on to speak of the outcome for his enemies. And I think if we read this psalm, I'm not going to read those verses, but I'm not avoiding them. I just would say the application is, as we live this life, as we're beginning to understand and God's helping us to praise him more and to have hearts that are thankful and meditating on his goodness, I do think we'll see some of our enemies, some of the enemies we have, not other people, but sin, discouragement, hopelessness, anger, lust, some of these enemies that are there, name your own, I'm saying a few of my enemies, we can see those enemies put to chase, that the mouth of those who, verse 11 at the end, the mouth of those who speak lies will be stopped. Some of us need the mouth that is speaking lies to be stopped in our lives. We need it to be silenced. And in that, perhaps there is something in seeking to praise God. Saying, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to lift up my hands and exalt you. I'm going to meditate on your goodness. God, stop the lies of the enemy. Shut that mouth up that's bringing me into discouragement and despair. Silence it, God. Silence the mouth that's bringing me into anxiety. Silence these mouths, God. Help me. But we need to be praising him and meditating on his goodness. And then let's see if he acts on our behalf. To silence these lies, the mouth that speaks lies, to destroy it, to silence it. Let's go to Psalm 104. Just a couple verses here. These verses, it's verse 33 and 34. If you read this whole psalm, you'll have a lot of reasons to reflect on with God's greatness. Because the psalm is a lot about how we see God's power in creation and some of the lessons we can learn from how he deals with creation all around us and how it all points back to him. So there's certainly things here that we can meditate on and let creation speak of God's greatness and his power. But just in verse 33 it says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. Just some repetition or reiterating or restating some of what we already read in the last psalm. But it's like, as long as I live, while I have my being, as long as God gives me in this life, while I'm here, I'm going to be singing praises to God. I'm going to be singing praises to God. And this is not a function of musical talent. This is a function of a heart that is just filled and meditating. And then it says it, my meditations will be pleasing to him. And then as for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. There's a gladness that comes with this, not because, and I would say it's not an emotional, like gladness and joy can tie into emotion, but they're not tied. They're not dependent on emotion. But this gladness comes if we're singing to the Lord as long as we live, if we're singing praise while we have our being, if our meditation is pleasing to him, I think we'll find that we're able to tap into this gladness. This gladness in the Lord is accessible through lives that are lived according to the instruction given here, according to the encouragement that the psalmist is giving us, that as long as we live, as long as we have our being, let's praise God. Let's meditate on all the reasons we have to see his greatness and his power and all that we have to be thankful for. Let's let our hearts be trained in this, because our hearts are not trained in this way. Like the natural mind and the flesh, it's trained exactly the opposite of this. It's trained to think, see what we have to be unhappy about, to see what is wrong around us, to see things that make us fearful and where we can see a little bit of man's power trying to be exerted. It's exactly contrary to what the scripture is encouraging us to say, no, look at God's power. Look at how great he is. Look at all we have to be thankful for. Meditate on his goodness. Meditate on how he has authority over everything around us. The nature, mankind, everything that happens is under his authority. Meditate on these things. Let these things give us reason to praise him and give him thanks. It'll help. It'll help us. Let's go to Psalm 146. Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs and he returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves righteousness. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Kind of speaks for itself. Like, praise the Lord. These are just some attributes, some truths of his character and what he does. I think as we look at these, we can say, there is a natural element where he does all of these things. He does look out for the orphan and the widow, and he does ultimately bring the ways of the wicked to nothing. We see it throughout all history, in all the times of darkness. How many kingdoms of men and all the wickedness they have tried to do have ultimately been sustained? Not one. Eventually, God brings them all down. And that's just a small, natural aspect of for how powerful he is, and how when he comes again, then truly all the kingdoms of plans of man will be brought to completely nothing. We see, like, now, naturally, there's a bit of a cycle where evil men and nations rise up, and then God brings them down. You can look back over history. He's done that. And ultimately, he always, always ends up bringing it to nothing. But when he comes again, then everything will be brought under his dominion. There'll be no element or no aspect that is not under submission and full control of his power. And that's the day we have to look forward to. But as we look also in these verses, like, I just look at, for me, when I read this, I was like, the Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord sets the prisoner free. If you're born again, if you're born again and listening to this, then you can say, the Lord has set a prisoner free. I'll lift my hands and praise you, God, because you have set this prisoner free. As we live our lives, as he continues to sanctify us and change us, he continues to set us free more and more. There's areas where he shows us, where there's aspects of our character or different things that we ourselves are helpless to overcome. But he again comes and brings his grace and sets us free more and more and more. We have lots of reason to praise him, and that's just one aspect of it. He gives food to the hungry. He's looking out for the poor and the destitute all over the world. He's watching over them. But for myself also, I was saying, like, you know what? When I need to be nourished, when I need for him to speak to me by his Spirit, when I'm hungering and thirsting for more of him, for hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and I don't say that in any sort of prideful way, because every one of us should be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's not the domain of those who are in some sort of leadership or up sharing that should be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Every one of us should be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And if we do, he will fill us. They will be filled. That's the promise Jesus Christ gave us in Matthew 5. And when it happens, when we see him giving food to the hungry, we can praise him and say, thank you, God. Thank you. And don't compare to others. Don't look around and see how it's happening for others. Even if it's just a morsel. Remember the testimony of that, was it a Syrophoenician woman? Jesus, she asked for help for her daughter. And Jesus said, it's not good to give the children's bread to dogs. And what did she say? I just need a crumb. I just need a crumb. And if our heart is, God, if you give me a crumb, in that I will praise you and give you thanks. It'll be very good for our hearts if that's our attitude. If we're not looking around at what others and what others are experiencing or how it's going or different things, but if we're just saying, God, my eyes are on you, and I will thank you for every crumb, every little thing that you give me in my life. And it's a matter of perspective. I think as God opens our eyes, we'll see they're not crumbs. They're actually great riches. But it may start with having to say, God, even a crumb is enough for me. And I will thank you if you give me that. Let's turn to Psalm 34. Very familiar psalm. I'll read a few verses, but the key is verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually in my mouth. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. But it's a wonderful opportunity just to have a heart that is continually praising God, that's blessing the Lord at all times, in difficult times, in good times, in deliverances, in being humbled, in situations that we would rather not be in. at all times, I'm going to bless you, God, and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you and give you thanks at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. Without the transformation of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to happen. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring that for us, that our hearts are full of praise and thanksgiving to God, where we can say, in everything, I give thanks, where I continually offer praise to God. He wants to do that, and it is a transformed and a renewed mind that can live in that place. And for me, it's a wonder, it's like a promise. It's a command, it's a challenge, but it's also a promise to say, God, you can bring me to that place where my heart is continually praising you. Continually praising you. And then not speaking from fully having experienced this yet, but I would challenge you to think about, like, if we're living in this place, where is room for some of these other enemies that I already talked about? Fear, anxiety, discouragement, all these other things. Like, I think that as we learn, and it's not, I don't necessarily think it's like a pill, you take it and then it's done. It's like, no, as we allow the Holy Spirit to train us in these things and allow the Holy Spirit to help us, to sanctify us, to make us those who are continually praising him, we'll see this transformation happening over time, where it's like, Lord, some of these enemies that were speaking to me, their voices have gotten a lot quieter. They've been completely silenced as you taught me to praise you and give you thanks in all circumstances, to see your power, to see your goodness, to see your authority, to see your righteousness, to see your love, to see your holiness, to see all of these things, to praise you and so much more. All of a sudden, these other voices are getting quieter and quieter as the voice of praise and blessing the Lord is getting louder and louder. So what he wants to do for us. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Let's do it together. Let's encourage one another in these things. Let's live lives that exemplify this, that can build one another up in it. I can tell you for myself, it's helpful sometimes when somebody maybe comes and gives you a little exhortation or brings some truth and says, hey, like, thought about this, or speaks truth to a situation. But what's even more powerful is when we see one another's lives getting changed. When I see a brother or sister who's had a touch from the Lord and their heart is full of praise and their life is like, I can see it. It's like they're like radiating right now. It's wonderful. Then we're spurred on and we're challenged, and that is how we can exalt his name together. We can do it when we're coming together intentionally to sing his praise. Those are times where the Holy Spirit is blessing us and is glorified and wants to work through that. But it's more than that. It's not just coming together to sing, but it's actually seeing our lives transformed, where we're seeing just the fruit of lips and hearts that are praising him and giving him thanks, and seeing the transformation that can come, that it challenges and it spurs us on together. It helps us. It helps one another. It's part of the functioning of a body. We're not meant to do this on our own. And it starts in the vertical. It starts in how we're relating to God ourselves. But it has an impact in the horizontal and how we're relating to one another and how we can build and encourage one another up. I think the Lord is glorified when he has a body of believers where there's a heart of praise and thanksgiving. Like, just think about that, right? Like, as we as a church are together, if someone who hasn't maybe been around before, as they come in, like, what a testimony that would be, is they're like, wow, those people are very thankful. Those people are like really seem like they're just have a lot to praise the Lord and give him thanks for. Like, what a testimony. Like, would that not be a pleasing testimony to our Father? Would that not be a testimony of the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, to have that just something that people are noticing? It's something I aspire to, that I want for myself when I'm at work, non-believers. Do they see that there's a difference, right? Like, do they see a difference? Have any of us been asked recently to give a defense of the hope that we have, as Peter says? Are people seeing enough of a difference that they actually are saying, like, what's different about you? Like, why do you have this hope? What's this difference in your life that you seem to be riding above the waves? Or when the difficulties come, you're not crashing? And I don't say that to condemn anyone, because I can assure you I say it thinking mainly of myself, but I think there's an element of that as this fruit is manifest in our life, it's going to also have an outward, it's going to show outward manifestation. And it can be something that causes people to be attracted. Like, what is it? Let's turn to Hebrews. It doesn't directly apply, but I'm going to read some other verses in Hebrews, but let's start in chapter 1, verse 9. It's just the testimony of Jesus Christ. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. So this is the testimony of Jesus Christ, that when people saw Jesus, and I think this is part of the reason that people were attracted to Jesus. He spoke the truth. He challenged. He didn't sugarcoat anything he said, but people were still attracted to him. And I think part of that was just this gladness that he just radiated, this joy that was coming out of his life. He was full of joy. He was full of joy. When some people saw Jesus, they're like, I have never seen someone with so much joy. That's his testimony. I can tell you right here. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but it does kind of say it right here. But just to expound on it and make it more tangible, that was Jesus' testimony. You saw him and you said, I have never seen someone with so much joy. He was also a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He bore burdens. He suffered. He denied himself. But he also was full of joy, and it existed at the same time. It was at the same time. And I know this doesn't specifically talk about praising, but it is the outcome. I think it is part of the fruit of lives that are thankful and meditating, and definitely in this most direct application, it's about loving righteousness and hating lawlessness. But I'm going to put it before you to ponder on whether also a life and filled with joy and gladness of greater than those around us couldn't also be tied to hearts that are just full of praise, that are blessing God, that are continually having his praise on our lips, that have an attitude of meditating on all of the reasons God is good and worthy of our praise. I think there will be joy. So turn to Hebrews 2, verse 12. You probably don't even have to turn the page, but let's read that one. So this is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So tied together with what we just read in verse 9, here is another testimony of Jesus Christ. It says, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. So who's he praising? He's God himself, but who is he praising? Well, even as God himself, the Son praised the Father. The Son praised the Father. And in case you're wondering, is it striking you as odd, you can go back and see it. I praise you, Father, for you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed them to children. He said it himself, I praise you. And here we see that when he is amongst us, when he's amongst us, calling us brothers and sisters, he's amongst us, he wants to join us in praising God. When Jesus is amongst us, he wants to praise. When we're here singing praise, and this can get a little confusing, so don't. I can tell you when I'm here, sometimes I'm praising Jesus, so I don't know how that all ties together, but it's good to praise Jesus himself. But Jesus is among us, among his brethren, singing praise to God the Father. That's what it says here. And you might think it's out of context, but I don't think so. It's part of what Jesus is doing when he's amongst his brothers and sisters, is giving praise to God, revealing his name, revealing his nature, showing us who the Father is, showing us how good our Father is. That when Jesus says, I've proclaimed your name to my brethren, I came, I revealed the Father to these disciples you have given me. And he's still doing it. He's still revealing God to us, because our minds are so darkened and damaged by sin that he is continuing through the Holy Spirit to help us see what a good Heavenly Father we have, that how is even in his discipline, he's perfect and worthy of being praised and giving him thanks in all things and in all circumstances. He is worthy of our praise. Jesus is there alongside us, and the Holy Spirit is as well, helping us to live this way, to see and have this in our lives. One last verse. Let's turn to Hebrews, I think it's 13. I didn't write it down, but yeah, there it is. Good verse to end on. I just want to read two verses before I read Hebrews 13, verse 15, but I think it all ties together because it leads into this. In Hebrews chapter 12, at the end of it, it says that God is coming and he is going to shake earth and heaven, but we are going to receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, an unshakable kingdom. When all that goes around us feels like it's shaking, and the Lord knows his times and his plans, but it does, like, things can feel shaky. You look at all that goes on, news and everything, but we have a kingdom which cannot be shaken. That is what Jesus has come to bring us, is an unshakable kingdom. That to the extent that we seek that kingdom, nothing can ever be taken from us. Nothing. You can lose all that is temporary here. Wealth, health. Just make your list. All those things that can be shaken and taken, they're not his kingdom. If it can be shaken or taken from us, it's not his kingdom. But his kingdom that he's giving us is unshakable. Righteousness, peace, joy, the power of his grace, his love. All of these things are unshakable. And that's what he's giving us. And from that, we should have an attitude of gratitude, of thanks, thankfulness, that we may serve him with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. All that is outside of his kingdom is going to be burnt up. We read it on with the youth on Thursday night. 2 Peter 2 or 2 Peter 3. Like, everything around us is destined for fire, is going to be burned, and only that which cannot be consumed by the fire, that which is God's kingdom, will remain. It's saying the same thing. Only that which is unshakable will remain. And through that, we should have hearts that are full of gratitude, by which we may offer him service with reverence and awe. Verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you, or I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Therefore, we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? This is the unshakable kingdom. God is my helper. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I can give him thanks and trust him and praise him in every circumstance because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's with me. He's helping me. He's here. He's a very present help in time of trouble. These are the reasons we have, just a few of the reasons we have to give him thanks and praise. This is why the kingdom he gives is unshakable, because it's not based on what we're experienced. It's not based on having wealth. It's not based on being healthy. It's not based on all these other things that are temporary. It's based on the fact that Jesus Christ is with us. He's with us. He's our helper. He will never leave us or forsake us. Those are unshakable promises. Those are unshakable promises given to us that we should cling to, that we should meditate on our beds in the night. When things come to trouble us in the night, a dream or other things, like, meditate on these things, that Jesus, you're with me. You're with me. You will never leave me or forsake me, and I'm not leaving you. By the grace of God, I'm not leaving you. Help me. Andrew shared, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, on bearing the reproach of Christ. But I just wanted to go to verse 14. 13, verse 14. Here we do not have a lasting city. Here it is temporary. It is going to ultimately be burned. It is not going to last. Any treasure, any investment that we're making here for the now is ultimately, it's not going to last. But we are seeking the city which is to come, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city. To the extent that is where we are fixing our eyes, to the extent that is what we're living for, it is unshakable. We don't want to be those seeking something here because it's not going to last. We do not have a lasting city here. We are seeking the city which is to come. Verse 15, through him, through Jesus Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So through Jesus Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. In case we had any, I doubt anybody did, but in case we had any thoughts that this was primarily about the Psalms of the Old Testament, here it is, a command to us that through Jesus Christ, we would continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. God desires our lips to be giving him thanks. To be giving him thanks. To be trained. And with lips that give thanks to his name, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there is a training that the Holy Spirit wants to do to teach our hearts to be thankful. To teach our hearts to see what we have to praise God for. To see all his greatness and his goodness. To reveal more and more and more of it. And in that, the outcome of a heart that is thankful, the outcome of a heart that is being trained to see God's goodness and not focus on the lack, not focus on what's hard, and not focus on the different things that the enemy might try and turn our attention to. A heart that's been trained in these things will have an outcome of the fruit of lips, will give thanks to his name. My encouragement to all of you is that to the extent that the Holy Spirit has spoken to any of us, let's start, right? If it's lacking, then let's ask God to help us start to bring it in our lives. That there would be today, tomorrow, more giving praise, more giving thanks, more meditating on why he's good and why he's great and all that he's done for us and the unshakable kingdom he's giving us. Let's start, right? And then God can water. The Holy Spirit can come and help teach us and cause us to grow in these things. That we can have a growing, that we would be coming to a place where we're continually offering up that sacrifice of praise. And I say this for myself too. Come to a continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to Him, and just, we'll see the fruit of it. I know it. We'll see the fruit of it, some of these things that I've shared about. We'll see them growing in our life. The enemy will be silenced. God will be exalted. He'll be enthroned. He's enthroned on the praises of His people. And the enemy will be put to chase. There's power in Him. There's a whole other thing I could share on there. I'm not going to now, but when Jesus says that, so I think it's in the verse about the children praising Him. If you read back, there's a correlation there to power. There's a power in praising God. It's not a ritual. It's something that He wants to bring about in each of our lives. And I know for myself, just was made a little more. I would never have said that the lack of grace that I was looking back on and felt where I was coming up short was due to a lack of praise. I was certainly looking for other root causes as I reflected, but for me personally, I think the Holy Spirit was saying, no, Joel, this is an area where you need to grow. You want more grace? You need to grow in praising me. Get your eyes off yourself, not to me.